Welcome back to Match Volume. We're your hosts, Emma Dessau.
And I'm Sarah Bringman.
In this episode, we are straying from our usual interview style, and we're going to have a conversation about some organizations providing hope and comfort to people affected in the time of COVID-19.
With rising unemployment rates and stay-at-home orders, COVID-19 has put the U.S., like many other countries, in a position we haven't seen in any of our lifetimes. But there are a lot of people working to fill the gaps left by the crisis.
We do want to acknowledge that COVID-19 is not the only crisis affecting people at this moment in time. When we dreamed up and originally recorded this episode, it was before the protests to the police brutality we are seeing across the nation. We are working to create content that directly discusses the subject as well, and we understand the urgency and relevance of this topic.
So with that, we're going to jump into our conversation about the orgs helping out during the COVID-19 crisis. Emma and I put together lists of organizations that were inspiring us. By no means is this a comprehensive list or an all-inclusive list, but these were just some that were inspiring us at this moment in time, and we hope they inspire you as well.
One of the organizations that I was really excited to research and throw in this list was the Boys and Girls Club of America. I worked for them through an internship one summer, and I've long admired their work. The Boys and Girls Club of America essentially provides after-school care and programs for enrichment learning after school in neighborhoods where students may not have after-school care and great educational resources. They position themselves in neighborhoods that have a lot of economic disparity and educational disparity. And so during this time, while schools are out, they are working to educate these communities and these kids. And so I was really pleased to see that they're raising funds to provide groceries to kids participating in all of their 2,500 clubs across the nation. And they're also providing virtual academic support through digital activities and learning opportunities. So I was really excited to add them on the list and just kind of raise up this kind of conversation around virtual learning, the disparities that are coming out now even more than ever with our education system.
I think we kind of always see the disparities in our education system, but then you take the kids out of the schools and you take away the resources that they did have access to. Suddenly the disparities look so much larger. Organizations helping out with that are a really big deal. And I think that the Boys and Girls Club of America, especially continuing the support with people that they already know, is a big deal.
I think too, just, you know, we know that a lot of the people who might be even more likely to be essential workers, you know, might have more difficulty finding daycare and care for their children during this time. So I think it's really big that the Boys and Girls Club is providing support for people who, he said, who don't have the resources at home.
That kind of brings us to one of my first organizations on the list and one of the organizations that kind of got me researching, honestly, orgs that were helping out during this whole situation that's still mind-boggling to me, was Save the Children, and specifically their initiative, Save the Stories, because it came across my, not only my feed, but just my radar so quickly. But this program, Save the Stories, it's kind of like a two-pronged approach. It's filling the gaps with the meals that kids can't get at school. And I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the amount of kids that get their meals at or rely on schools for at least one meal a day is like an astonishingly high number. And so they, Save the Stories, was starting to provide meals and books and the resources similar to the Boys and Girls Club. But then also the way that they were raising awareness and money was by having people post themselves reading kids' stories online. And I thought that was a great way to just provide free contact to kids. There's a huge developmental role that reading to your child plays. And again, like you were saying, a lot of these kids have parents that are essential workers. And even some of these kids who do have the resources, like even their parents are essential workers. Like both of my parents worked full-time when I was growing up. And we were lucky enough that this didn't happen to us when we were younger. So it's very, I think, people focusing on kids right now is a big deal, especially because this is going to be a huge chunk of their childhood and change a lot of their learning.
I just looked up a statistic, and it looks like Eater.com reported that 14.6 million kids rely on school breakfast, and another 1 million children, probably overlapping with those kids, rely for dinner at school. So, yeah, it's a lot of people, absolutely. Another organization kind of on this topic that we both were really excited to talk about was Feeding America. So Feeding America is a nationwide network of 200 food banks and 60,000 food pantries. And they are collecting donations for COVID-19 response to fund all of these food banks across the country in vulnerable communities affected by the pandemic. So similarly to these organizations providing food for families that are struggling to feed their children when they had relied on school lunches, there are lots of people who relied on jobs to feed their families that they no longer have. And so these other institutions, these food banks are really, really critical for so many people in the United States. And yeah, I think Feeding America is a wonderful organization to contribute to, or even to just find your own food bank through. They're a great connector. So,
yeah, and food banks are kind of always in need. And I think if you're looking for a way to see an impact on your direct community, food banks are great because there's always a food bank in your area and they're always looking for help, especially like just canned goods, things that non-perishables, things that don't expire, just to help your community around you. Feeding America is a great resource right now. And kind of talking about networks and people unfortunately losing their jobs. There's one industry that has been really affected, especially with the stay-at-home orders, has been the hospitality and the restaurant industry. And so that kind of brings us to World Central Kitchen, which is a very cool organization in that they're very established. And the way that they have proven themselves, especially with the Puerto Rico hurricane, has been very cool to me. They move into action different restaurants and they help employ them to help package meals for the communities and children and family to pick up, and seniors who cannot venture out, they deliver to them. And as of right now, they're active in dozens of cities. This is from them, the quote from them, providing over 250,000 fresh meals every day, which is amazing. And then Chefs for America is their initiative that is connecting people who need meals and the restaurant workers and drivers who need to make a living. And that's huge right now because we see small businesses and local businesses going out of business when we can't go to them. And this allows them to make an impact on their community as well as keeping them in business. And on their website, it said World Central Kitchen has purchased over 1 million meals from local restaurants.
That's so, so amazing. I love that initiative. Do you want to talk about GiveDirectly? I think you added them to the list, and I think it's kind of a good transitioning point.
Yeah, so GiveDirectly is an interesting organization because it is direct cash transfers to people in need. People don't often consider direct cash transfers because they think, well, I could give them cash or I could donate to the Red Cross and give them whatever in-kind donation, which is a non-cash donation, such as vitamins, clothes, etc. But there actually tends to be a decent amount of waste that comes with in-kind donations because it's not always exactly what that person needs at that time. Whereas if you give the person in crisis cash, they can purchase whatever they need and it goes back into their economy. There's a lot of benefits to it and it's a very good thing to research if you can. It's really cool. But GiveDirectly is a organization that fosters just that. So cash transfers to people, and they vet the people who they're giving to, and they're funded and or recommended by Google, USAID, GiveWell, the Global Innovation Fund, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, NBA Cares, and others. So they've become very well established and they have a very high efficiency rate. So a normal efficiency rate for a nonprofit is on average 80%, which means they spend about 20% on overhead to run the nonprofit. GiveDirectly has a 88% efficiency rate. Your money is going to a good place, and they receive feedback and follow-up from over 99% of their recipients. And
amazing.
In 2019, 90% of their transfers were delivered on time. And so, most of the time, they operate in third world countries. But for the COVID relief, they have Project 100, which is to raise $100 million to fund 100,000 families in 100 days for American COVID-19 relief. And the money goes to vulnerable families who have lost their jobs, cannot pay rent, and need help urgently. And I think cash transfers right now are a really big deal, especially when we talk about rent and groceries and things that people have very specific needs right now. And we can't always have the foresight to give them exactly that in-kind donations. Whereas if we give them the resources to take care of it themselves, they can get exactly what they need and or get through that month of rent, and it can help them a lot. So you can look up GiveDirectly on givedirectly.org, and they have a lot of good resources to explain cash transfers. And I think it's just something like to just take time, especially during this time, to look into it for the future. For future disasters, when we're looking at what kind of donations you want to make, consider cash donations, because in the end, they probably will help the person more. Generally, people in crisis do not spend frivolously. They work to make sure that they are providing exactly what they need for their family and for themselves. So I think it's a very cool organization.
Absolutely. I noticed when I was working on Trojan Shelter at USC, which is a shelter for college students experiencing homelessness, a lot of people would reach out wanting to give a specific thing. But when we said, hey, you know, we have that already, or, you know, that's something awesome, but it's not something that we need, you know, people could get frustrated. People really like to sometimes give what they want to give. But sometimes what an organization or what a family really needs might not be in your head as the thing that you think they should need. And I think that goes even more so not only for organizations, but to individuals, you know, presuming that we know exactly what they need. Maybe we think they need rent money, but in reality, their car, you know, needs a repair desperately for them to be able to get to work. There are so many different variables that we can't consider when we give to people in organizations. So I love GiveDirectly.
First of all, Trojan Shelter is an amazing cause, and you did an incredible job with that. But I think that's a great example too, because even if they're fortunate enough to have the security blanket, have been given the stuff, organizations even have been given enough donations for that time being, like to have the extra little space, so if an emergency comes up, they can cover it. That's huge. So I think that's also where, like, just not assuming that you know better than the people who are in crisis is something that we can't take for granted, and we need to think about more, I think.
100%.
Yeah.
Something we were really excited about was kind of other ways to give during this time. And I think one last organization before we just share some great ways to give that may not even be monetary giving during COVID-19. One way that we talked about was giving blood and giving convalescent plasma. So before we even hopped into COVID-19 and the pandemic and the crisis going on, the economic crisis, there was already a blood crisis, a blood shortage. And now more than ever, we need blood in this country and around the world for blood transfusions and life-saving surgeries. And healthy donors can give blood and platelets or plasma. And it can really, really make a difference without having to open your checkbook at all. Do you want to expand on that, Sarah?
No, I think you're covering that really well. I think if you're a healthy, generally healthy person, blood is almost always needed, and they need all blood types, and it can save up to 3 lives per donation. It's really easy. I've done it a bunch of times before. It's not very painful. The recovery is really easy. And it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't take that long. In the American Red Cross, I've donated during this time, and they've been super, super careful about protection for their donors right now. So I wouldn't let fear stop you, because we also have to remember that normal emergencies are continuing during this time. People are still having emergency surgeries, like you said. There's still, unfortunately, there's still car accidents. People are still having babies. Newborns need O negative blood. So stuff like that. I think it's a really great way to give back.
It's perfectly said. So I think kind of jumping into kind of our last segment of this conversation, we just really wanted to encourage people to think about different ways that they can be giving in this time and different ways that they can contribute to their communities and to their neighbors and to just people who might be in need. So we have a few ideas. And blood was definitely one of our favorite ways to give beyond monetary means, as odd as that sounds. We're not vampires. but we have some other ways too. So Sarah, why don't you kick us off with some ideas?
So I think one thing, and I think that's really, like, the creativity that's coming out during this time has been really cool to see. But the DIY projects for masks, just, I've seen people make them out of socks. The CDC has a demonstration. YouTube has thousands. It's people going in the grocery store and stuff. It's not as needed for us to have surgical grade, but it is important for us to cover our face and do our part. So you can use a bandana, or you can use an old t-shirt. Like, there's so many different DIY projects you can do to create masks, or you can even make them for people who can't make them for themselves and help save the surgical grade for people who are in the N95s and stuff, for people who are working every day in the medical field. It means a lot to those people to, and it's sometimes life-saving, and to have that PPE for them. So that's an easy way to give back.
On that note too, we talked about just giving things away in general. A lot of people have the luxury of time, and you know, on that we can go on a ton of tangents too of ways that people can be giving of their time in useful and valuable and really meaningful ways during the season. But one simple way is just going through your closet and decluttering and giving away things that you don't need to your local Goodwill, or you know, posting it in your community email and seeing if somebody else could use it.
Yeah. And you never know. You might find something really fun in your closet. I found an old magic hat when I went through my closet, and I don't even know where that came from.
So I don't even know what that is, but that's really fun.
You know, like one of those, just like those pop-up hats that they the magic shows.
Oh, that's really fun. I love that. Yeah. I think on that note too, well, not really on that note at all, but another thing that we talked about was and on the DIY train, I had a neighbor or a friend make a take what you need, leave what you can box in their neighborhood. And they just took some old wood and built a lovely little box for people to put anything that they can spare for their neighbors. So canned food and masks and hand sanitizer and toilet paper. And then also for people to, you know, be able to take what they need, but then also give. And it's just a lovely way to be sharing and creating spaces where people can be generous with what they have and can also take what they need when they're in need.
Yeah, I think that's a, I thought that was a beautiful story. I thought that that was such a great idea. Like, it's such a great way to pass it on. It's like paying for someone behind you in line in the drive-through. It's just paying it forward.
Simple, but it can really make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the last thing, and again, Emma said it in such a great way with the luxury of time when we were talking about this, was just volunteering as states open up, and obviously be smart about it and be safe, but there's still ways to volunteer where they'll keep you safe and they have protocols to make sure that everybody is protected. And I think volunteering right now is a great way to use that time where it might be really sad that you have all that time, or it could be, you could be really bored and out of things to do. And it's just it's a good way to take that time and kind of turn it around. I think also a professor told me this when I was looking into a few projects for the summer, is that a lot of college graduates are going to be out of work. It's just a really weird job market right now, and it will turn around. But the amount of education and experience that you have is still very valuable to some people. And a nonprofit would love to have you come along and be like, hey, I really like your cause. Do you need help writing emails? Do you need help writing a paper? Like, do you need help researching something? They would love to have your skill set. I think that's like one way you can volunteer, and you don't even have to leave your house. So
that is so well said, Sarah. I think that's exactly right. And, you know, there's value too, to our souls and to our sense of self-worth and to our purpose in the world when we're able to contribute where we really want to contribute. You know, that's something that we don't always have the luxury to do. And another idea too, when you're going through your closets, is getting rid of clothes that might be useful to someone else in a job interview. A lot of people are facing unemployment, and that's one of the biggest needs I know at clothing closets and shelters or places where people can come, you know, even Goodwill, where they can come and get clothing for free or for a less expensive price. It's really valuable when there's professional wear for people, because that's, you know, expected in interviews. Not everybody can afford to have to find it elsewhere.
That's a great little nugget, especially when haircuts aren't the most successful thing right now and you want to feel professional.
Thanks for having this conversation and for inspiring, you know, this idea and leading me along in it. And I just think there's so much value in just talking about these things and stirring people to think about where they can and want to contribute to their communities right now. There's so many people in need of hope and resources, and there are so many ways to contribute. So thank you for coming up with this.
Absolutely. And thank you for being A, open to the idea, and B, bringing so many good ideas and wisdoms to the idea to make it what it was. So thank you.
I am honored to be on this with you. I think that's all we've got for Match Volume this week. We'd love it if you'd subscribe or just come on and check out our podcast this summer. We'll be producing all summer.
Match Volume is a production by Annenberg Media through USC's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
I'm Emma Dessau.
And I'm Sarah Bringman.
Thanks for listening.